But I'm glad there's some generations coming up behind me. And if I can see one, two, three coming along behind me, walking in the footsteps of the Lord, that'll be a tremendous asset to my dying days. I lay my head to rest. I looked at Daddy the other day up in the hospital, a little old, laying there in the emergency room, little old bony body. His arms wasn't as big around hardly as a matchstick. And sitting there all drawled up, and I thought about Jacob when he died. It said he drew himself up on his couch, on his bed, and yielded up the ghost. And I kind of felt like Jacob may have been a small frame man. I don't know why, but I feel like he may have, old as he was, no doubt had lost a lot of weight, and probably a small man. You know, it's odd. We're born and we're little. We don't have any teeth and no hair. Then we grow teeth and hair and grow up. And then we get older and we lose our hair, lose our teeth, and get little again. And that's just the way life is. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Solomon chapter number 6 this morning. And if you have your place there in the Bible, while you stand with me, and we'll read the first 5 verses of Solomon chapter number 6. I hope the Lord will help me. Getting kind of late, it's already noon. Solomon chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now may the Lord add the blessing to His Word. Heavenly Father, I'm reminded this hour of the promise on Wednesday night in my study as I searched the heart of God for the message for the hour. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would manifest forth the great riches of Christ in our midst this morning. Magnify the Lord in all of His grace and His glory, in the very beauty of His holiness. May it pass by our way today. I thought of that song this morning, Jesus passed by my way. Lord, if You'd pass by one more time, maybe another old sinner would find enough light to get saved. Or God, maybe Your people would find enough strength to go on one more week in Thy service. I pray, O God, that You'd touch every heart and every home that's in this place today, and those that may be listening by the way of radio. God, that You'd touch Your man as I stand to preach. Grant me Thy power. That same oil that Asher's foot was dipped in, may it anoint this vessel this day with holy liberty and power to preach the Word of God, to turn sinners from their way unto the Lord Jesus, from death unto life, and from darkness unto light, to the glory of God. And Lord, would You please, as we sang this morning, revive us again, and we'd be careful to praise You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 5, where Solomon said, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been found by His little bride, and His statement to her is, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. If I can break that down in human vernacular without sounding ugly to you this morning, if this might be a man, I really believe that man would say, you're going to have to stop looking at me that way. I can't take that any longer. You know, there is a way that a woman looks at a man that is very becoming of her and very blessed to that individual. And that's what I see in this verse of Scripture this morning. I want to preach, if God will help me this morning for a little while, on the thought, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I believe we have a song to that effect where the songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His wonder and grace. Now I'll tell you, my friend, I believe looking into the face of the Lord Jesus would cure the ills of God's people this morning, and especially those of us at Island Ford Baptist Church. And to be honest now, at a first glance of the words of Christ in this verse, they really appeared to me to seem, real difficult to interpret. Because Christ had been overcome by her eyes. He had been conquered, if you please, by what He saw in the eyes of that little bride. And that amazes me this morning, that He that has conquered all of our enemies for us, sin and Satan and the world and so forth, does have the power, or rather we have the power and the ability to overcome and conquer Him. And somebody said, oh, preacher, we can't do that. I beg to differ with you, my friend. For when Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long, and that angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you have blessed me. And God blessed him there and changed his name to Israel, because he had power with God and with men. Now I'll tell you, my friend, if we could ever wrestle with God in that way and come up with great power in our soul, we'll find that we'll have an influence with God and an influence with men that will leave its mark and its impression upon the society that we're living in. And this little bride had something in her eyes. Christ saw something in her that simply overwhelmed His heart when she looked at Him in that manner. It done something in Him. It just flooded His heart and His soul. And He said, just turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Boy, I'll tell you what we need to do this morning is to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Yes, sir, we need to look to Him. Let your heart, some of you out there, are looking at everything in the world other than looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. When Noah built the ark, he put a window right in the very top. And it was there for a reason, my friend. God didn't put it in the side where he could look out. He didn't put it in front of him where he could look where he was going. He didn't put it behind him where he could see where he had come from. But neighbor, he put it in the top where when he looked out, all he could look was up and all he could see was God. I'm telling you, we're living in an hour when we better get our eyes and minds over everything else and set our eyes upon Him. Son, it's time by the grace of God that we turn our eyes upon Christ and look into His wonderful face of the very one that loved us and died for our sins. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now listen carefully. Hey, His being overcome does by the eyes of the bride does not imply any weakness in Him. Not for 1 minute. But it's a revelation to you and I that we ought to get a hold of. A revelation of His astonishing, condescending love and grace, whereby He allowed, my friend, He allowed that which He had already conquered. And somebody said, oh, He's never conquered me. That's why you're yet a rebel and you've never been saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, no man has ever been saved that he didn't throw up the white flag of surrender and be conquered by the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. No weakness there, but a revelation of His condescending love and grace. I'll tell you, it's surprising, it's amazing to me that He, who has conquered all of our enemies, listen carefully, would be willing to be held as it was captive by a poor, benighted little sinner. If I can paraphrase that for you, Jesus said, turn your eyes away from me, for they have captivated me. I have become a captive to that poor, benighted sinner. I believe that's what run through His mind when Mary Magdalene, my friend, anointed His feet with that oil and wiped His feet with the hair of her head. I believe she had that kind of love for Him that she captivated and captured the very heart of the Son of God. I hope I'm not shooting where I oughtn't be shooting this morning. Some of y'all look at me like I'm a benighted moron. Huh? I'm going to tell you the reason is you've never looked in His face. Son, I saw it. Stay with me now. Stay with me. Hey, she was not blind. No, sir. Neither was her vision blurred. And neither did she just see Him through a glass darkly. But she had found her beloved. Did you hear what I said? She had found her beloved. My God, may God help you today to realize that we have been living where this little bride was living. Away from Christ. Outside His presence. Away from His person. But she found Him. And when she found Him, my friend, she had such love in her eyes and affection for Him that He said, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Hallelujah to God. She wasn't blind. She wasn't blurred. She wasn't looking darkly. She had found her beloved, and it was more than just a simple glance. But it was a bright, vivid concept that she held of her bridegroom. And her eyes were so fastened upon Him and were so possessing of Him that He was overwhelmed and overcome. Something in those eyes. Was your wife ever looked at you like that? I mean, there's been a problem, you know, and you and her have kind of had words, and there's been a little problem between both of you. And you're a little stubborn, and you're just not really willing to let bygones be bygones. And she suddenly breaks out of that bedroom where she's been in there on the bed weeping with a broken heart because of the little fuss you had. And you look into her eyes, and there's something there, boy, that just melts your heart. Oh, it just melts and breaks your heart. There's a look in that little bride's eyes that it just does something in your soul that has never been done there before. And I can tell by looking at some of you duds, it ain't never happened to you. It ain't never happened to some of you. Now, I'm going to tell you, Sister Hall can get old Brother Hall. Just ask her to give me one wink, buddy. It knocks me off my feet. I'll tell you, don't look at me like that woman. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't look at me like that woman. I can't take that. My God, turn your eyes away from me. They've overcome me. They've overwhelmed me. I can't take that look. I want to remind you that she had been away from Him, buddy.
She had been persecuted, abused. She had been tormented and aggravated. She had been away from God, but yet she still possessed enough grace in her heart to fasten her eyes upon Him and overcome Him with her love.
Tell you what we need to do this morning, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Now I want to ask this question. What was it that Christ saw in her eyes that affected Him like that? For that's what He looked directly into her eyes. You know, some folks can't look you in the eye. That's right, if they've been running their mouth about you. Or they've been listening to somebody else run their mouth about you. Or they've got a little beef to pick with you. Or they know that you know something about them that ain't right with them. They can't look at you in the eye. But I'm going to tell you, that little woman apparently had a clear conscience. Nothing between me and my Savior. I'm going to tell you something, friend, if we're ever going to overcome the Lord, we're going to have to get to the place that there is nothing between us and our Savior. Old Brother Aubrey Brown preached down at that meeting on Thursday night, and he said every sinner that refuses and rejects Christ has got a sin in their life that they dearly hang on to, some little old pet sin, and they'll let that little pet sin consign them to a Christless eternity because they will not give it up. But he said every child of God possesses one of them too, friend. And there's one little old pet sin in our life that will prevent the blessings of God from on us, being on us. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to have to do is let Him examine our hearts and puke up everything between us and God. If we ever want to captivate Him by our love, we're going to have to be right in our heart, nothing between us and our Savior today. I'm going to tell you something. Say, somebody in this room got something against me. I can tell when I preach, buddy. Say, somebody in this room got a problem with Brother Hall. It's an absolute fact. It's not a think or a maybe. It's a fact. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to ever have God in your life till you puke her up and get right in your heart. You can't be wrong with your brother in Christ, and I am your brother. You can't be wrong with your brother in Christ and be right with God. It's an impossibility. Nothing between me and my Savior. And if there's anything between us and our brother in Christ, it stands between us and God and the blessings of God in our life. I won't charge you nothing for that. But I'm telling you, it's here. And I'm telling you, that's the hang up in the church. And I'm telling you, that's the Miriam in the church. Amen. Whoever it is, that's the problem, son. And that's our Miriam. And we ain't went nowhere. And that problem is here. Whoever, oh yes. Somebody said, who is it, preacher? I don't really know. But I'm telling you that the church ain't went forward. And Miriam's yet alive and kicking. Oh yes. And the problem is a personal problem with the man that stands behind the pulpit. And by the way, that just happens to be Gary L. Hall today. Amen. That's right. And there might be more than one. I don't know how I got off on that. They might be more than one. I'm going to tell you something, church. If I was right with God and right with the preacher, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd lock in on God, myself. If I was you men, I'd come to these prayer meetings and I'd lock in on God and I'd pray that rascal into light before the whole church, manifest it before everybody. Yeah, I can't. I'm just telling you, I can't. Brother Hall couldn't. Oh, no. Somebody said, oh yeah, Brother Hall, just preach her out. Oh, there's some things that you got to sit back and wait on God to take care of. But I tell you, it's God's men and God's women to get after God. Oh yes, and find mercy and find grace in the eyes of God. I guarantee you that God, my friend, will bring it to light, whoever it might be, and get that thing out of the house of God that we might have God's power on us again.
You're right.
you read what I wrote in the bulletin this morning? I said, it's over! God told me in no uncertain terms, buddy, hey, that little bride found him. You realize that Jesus hadn't spoken to her since chapter 5 or spoken about her since chapter 5 and verse 2 or 3? When he called and knocked, put his hand through the hole in the door, that's the last that she heard of him. He was gone, buddy. But I'm telling you, that, hey, he has finally spoken again. You ho! Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, when He speaks, son, everything is all right. And He had spoken one more time for the first time since chapter 5. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? That tells me that her drought was over, that her hard time was over, that her problem was over, that Christ was back in her life, that the joy bells was ringing. Oh, yes, that God was again present in her life. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I've done Wednesday night. God said it's over.
Amen.
And I sat in that room and wept upstairs. And about got down on the floor and wallered. God said it's over. I just wept and cried. I wanted to run downstairs and tell Miss Hall and Sister Benedict was down there. And I said, she'll think I'm a nut. Everybody thinks I'm about half nuts anyway. And he'll just about put the lid on it for her. And I said I couldn't put it off any longer. And I went downstairs. Miss Hall was standing there. And she looked at my face. Oh, I'm going to tell you, buddy, it was tears of joy. I said, guess what, Mama? I said, honey, it's over. She said, it's over. I said, it's over. I said, she found him. She looked in his face. She found him. She overcome him with the look of her eyes. She found him. Jesus is back. She said, what do you have? I said, the drought's over. The dead time's over. I don't know whether it meant in you or whether it meant me. But hallelujah to God, I'm feeling all right this morning. And I feel the presence of God down in my soul. And I know that I know that I know that He's back. Hallelujah to God in my life. And I'm ready to shout the victory one more time. Because the bridegroom is back talking one more time to his darling little bride. Hallelujah. Amen. It's over. It's revival. It's springtime. The flowers are in bloom again, son. And the rain's on the way. A revival is around the corner. If I didn't believe that, I'd be an idiot to stand here and preach that to you. I don't know much, Brother Shelby. But I know the voice of God. Somebody said, oh, no, we can't know that. My sheep hear my voice. And I've heard. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. Woo! Somebody said, preacher, I ain't heard it in a long time. Don't leave me. That's not, hey, that doesn't have any bearing on it. The question is, have you heard it? For if you have heard it once, He may be silent for a while, but He'll speak again. Hallelujah to God, He'll speak again. If you've heard it once, you shall hear it again. And by the way, you may not hear it for a long time, but I know for a fact you'll hear it when He says, come up hither. Hallelujah to God, because you've been saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's over. Y'all ready for it to be over?
Amen.
Are you ready to kick sin out the front door?
Amen.
Ready to bury it? You ready to bury your differences? You ready to get right with one another? Get right with the preacher? Get right with God? Huh? If you're ready, it's over. I'm going to tell you, with them little eyeballs right there, that God can put something in them eyes that'll overwhelm him. Yes, sir. Somebody said, what? And I'm just going to rip through these and we're going to the house. But I'm going to tell you, if I don't rip through them, we may not come back tonight. But I'm going to tell you something a little over. Hey, the faith that they possessed, can I remember? Oh, yes. He looked into her eyes And there was that real saving faith. Real saving faith. I'm talking about faith that could follow Him on the last promise. What was the last promise you got? Somebody said, believe in the Lord with all your heart and you shall be saved. Then follow Him on that. If He hadn't spoken since then, just keep on following Him on that. Son, he saw a faith there. A faith that she possessed. Did you know that without faith it's impossible to please God? And did you know, apparently from that, that the more faith we have, the more pleased He is? Somebody said, we can't have any more faith. His disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you can follow Him on the last promise through the valleys and the trials, there will come a time when it will be over and His voice will speak to you again.
Amen.
Have you heard Him lately? May God, Lord Jesus, You told me it was over. And I'm trusting You to speak to somebody in this place today to bring an end to it. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, I can't go on much longer. I've got to have His love and grace, His power, His holiness, His presence, His wonderful person back in our church, walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Hallelujah to God. A purging hearts from sin, and a saving old sinners, and a strengthening our hearts, and blessing our souls, and helping our families, and saving our children, increasing our faith, touching our hearts by His mercy. Somebody said, what kind of faith you had? Had faith, number one, in salvation. Do you really have faith in that? Huh? I wonder if a lot of folks do. Saving faith. I read this just a couple of weeks ago, Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me. Whoop! Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I'm God, and there is none else. What about Israel in the wilderness when they murmured, and God sent fiery serpents, a type of judgment, the judgment of God in their midst. And when bitten by a serpent, they died. But God told Moses, said, build you a serpent of brass and set it upon a pole. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. And set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon the serpent, he shall live. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you been bitten? Somebody said, oh yeah, I'm in the midst of pious serpents. I don't care whether you're lost or saved. If that serpent have bitten you, friend, just look and live. Hallelujah to God. That's all you got to do. Just look and live. Look and live. Look and live. Do you have faith this morning? In His salvation. Jesus told Nicodemus, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone that believeth in Him should have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to ask you something this morning. Have you been bitten? And the answer to that is yes, emphatically yes. Lost or saved? Emphatically yes. If you're lost, you've been bitten, my friend, with the sin of death. And you're dying this morning. You're lost and going to hell. But if you'll only look, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look to Christ and be a saved, all the ends of the earth. Some of you in here is as lost as a junkyard dog, buddy. Absolutely no signs of holiness, no fruit. No fruit whatsoever in your God-given life. You ain't changed. You come to church with a little religion, but you ain't changed a bit more than a billy goat. Come on now. I won't charge you nothing for that. Huh? Let me say, what kind of faith in that salvation? Faith to convert you. Have you really been converted? Do you really believe? That's the kind of stuff faith that He saw in them eyes. Enough faith. She believed she had been converted. 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 We don't like to use that term. Converted. That takes on too much of an idea of being changed. But that's what salvation is being changed. Brother Mark, converted, changed, old things passed away. Oh, all things become new. Hallelujah to God. Do you believe? Do you believe in a faith that'll convert you this morning? Now I'm going to say this. Now Billy Ball said this. I didn't. So if you want to blame somebody for saying it, blame me. And I know if some people heard this, I would be labeled a Calvinist. But I didn't say this. Billy Ball did.
Billy Ball.
He said, the Bible said, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. When did he begin that work? Now you can call me whatever you want to call me, but without a shadow of a doubt, that work had to begin when he convicted you.
Billy Ball.
You got enough faith to believe he'll convert you?
Amen.
You have enough faith to believe he'll conform you?
Amen.
Come on in the house, young'un. That's where most Baptists fall out. Oh, the potter's wheel hurts.
Amen.
The potter, when he puts, hey, don't you put your hands on me, they hurt.
Amen.
You ever see a man put his hand on a vessel on the potter's wheel without applying just a little bit of pressure and squeezing and pushing? Oh, it takes a little pressure. It takes a little squeezing, a little pushing, but it'll finally happen. Somebody said, I'll never be like Jesus. I'm just dumb and stupid and a moron and don't know nothing and I'm ungodly and wicked and all these thoughts and all this in my heart and all this and all these jealousies and animal, all this stuff. Oh, they're still there. But do you have faith to believe that God can do something about them? I've got faith to believe. Hallelujah to God. I've been working on one in my own heart, and by the grace of God, he's conquered, it's overcome, the shyness gone, it's over, Robert, he's conquered, hallelujah to God, wake up this morning, do you believe that God's got do you have enough faith to believe that God will make you like himself?
Amen.
I didn't necessarily mean to turn that over, but I didn't want none of y'all to think I just lost my balance. Huh?
Amen.
Faith to believe he'll convert you. Faith to believe he'll conform you. I'm talking about salvation faith. Do you have enough faith to believe he'll carry you through? Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that he has begun a good work in us. I will carry us through. Hallelujah to God. That's right, Patty. He'll make it. You'll make it, huh? You'll make it, Steve. You'll make it, brother. Ricky, you'll make it, dog. Sharon, you'll make it. He'll carry us through. We got in last night and tried to start packing and washing clothes for Monday, and Miss Hall went in and sat down to get her email, and she looked a little of it, and she said, honey, come here. I said, you got a letter here, and it was addressed to Preacher Hall. Said, Preacher Hall, can you give me one scripture that tells me that a saved person will lose their salvation? Said, will you give me one? And she said it was signed Cherry or something like that. And the way she wrote it, she wanted me to give her a verse, if I could, that would prove that you could lose your salvation. And I had Miss Hall, I said, crank her up and write. And I put, sorry, they ain't none. They ain't none. Well, they ain't none. Somebody said, all that it says, Paul said, you're fallen from grace. You better read that scripture, dumbbell. That's right, moron. I'd read that verse of scripture. If you want to place yourself back under the law and try to keep the law, yes, you have removed yourself from grace. But you've not fallen from the grace that's been bestowed in your heart as a sinner when God saved you. You believe he'll carry you through? All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to fear or dread or something like that? Woo, hallelujah. If I was a singer knew the words, boy, I'd sing this morning.
Amen.
God leads His dear children along. But I'm about to go nuttier than a fruitcake. I need some help, Jerome. I need some help. But some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. But hallelujah to God, all of them through the blood. God leads His dear children along. Can one be lost? No, not one. No, not one. No, not one. He'll pass through, my friend.
Amen. Not only faith in His salvation, faith in His sayings. We really believe what Jesus said? Do we really now? There was a centurion in the Bible that had a servant about to die. And he sent somebody, told Jesus, and the friends that he sent, told Jesus, said the centurion down here, said, he's done much for our city. He said he loves you and built a synagogue. He said he's got a servant at the point of death and he wants you to come down here and heal him, if you will. And Jesus went. He went with him to go down to that house. But the Bible said, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. Just saying a word. Just saying a word. I'm glad. Thank God. And that all we got to do is have simple faith in a word. He didn't say a bunch of words. He didn't say a sentence. He didn't say write me a letter or send me a book. He said just say a word and my servant will be healed. I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, you go your way. He said His faith. And here's what he said, I have not seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Can we believe him for his word? Yes. In his saying, in his hand. Son, I'm telling you what. Now, come on now. When you got saved, did you base your salvation on all the Bible? I'm going to tell you what you trusted in, Brother Ricky. For by grace are you saved. Five words. I'm going to tell you, He's given you a whole Bible. Amen. That's saving faith, and He's given you a whole Bible to grow on. Amen. What a great God. Yes. Brother Shelby, what a great God. Yes, just say a word. Amen. Do you realize that, oh, hey, I've learned that all He's got to do is speak. If Jesus, all He's got to do is say, drought be ended. Yes. Sun shine again. Darkness roll away. Amen. Trial come to an end. Amen. Heartache be filled with joy. All He's got to do is talk, speak. Amen. I think about old Brother Peter. Jesus in Luke chapter 5 went out on a ship and was out in that ship of teaching the multitudes. And the Bible said that when he ended all of his sayings, when he had ended it, left his speaking, he said unto Simon, said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Somebody said, preacher, you've been here for 13 and a half years and the church ain't filled up yet. Oh, but Jesus, I better watch that baby. Jesus has spoken. Oh, yes, He said, it's over! It's over! It's over! It's over! Now, I'm telling you, He said there's a telelink that we can set up by internet and go to Timbuktu. Oh, yeah! Big Toenail Junction, Montana, if we want to. Anywhere with the Word of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's time that we quit fishing for minnows, bless God, and let down our nets for a big catch. Son, they fish out there. They souls to be saved. They sinners lost. Hey, people need God. We need to let down our nets tonight. Time to let them down, son. Somebody said, do you have the word? He said, it's over. So if something's over, means something else must be getting ready to start. Lord, I've had marathon after marathon after marathon.
I've had broadcast after broadcast after broadcast. Nevertheless, at thy word, let them down.
Amen.
Somebody said it'll cost money. Well, you poor benighted. You think God's broke?
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, do you think he is so dumb that when he told Peter to let down the net, he didn't know how many fish he'd fit in that net? Then he knew how strong that net was.
Amen.
How many fish should it hold?
Right.
Hallelujah to God. What?
Amen.
What a God we got. I won't say faith in His security. Not only salvation and sins, but faith in His security. That's what called it. That's what called, oh, turn away thine eyes from me. Thy faith has overwhelmed me. I'm overwhelmed. Turn away your eyes from me. Your faith has overwhelmed me. Faith in His security. John 17:12. Boy, I like this. This hair lips the devil and all that Armenian crowd out there with it.
Amen.
Don't bother me none, friend. I'm going to tell you, there's a man got up in John Fletcher's camp meeting and said, any man that makes much out of the grace of God will become a fatalist. Grace, more grace and grace and grace and more grace and all kinds of grace. Saving grace, living grace, dying grace, happy grace, amen to God, grace, 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 grace. Save the grace, save the grace, kept the grace, save the grace, live the grace. The just shall live by grace. How can you make too much out of that? Save me and that I'm a living by in this life.
Amen.
You can say what you want to say, but I'm going to tell you, words like that fall from an ignorant man. And I'm not talking about book knowledge ignorant. I'm talking about spiritually ignorant.
Amen.
Those have fallen from the lips of a man that know nothing about the grace of God. You say, preacher, you oughtn't to talk like that. I'm in my pulpit now.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, friend. How can we, Brother Mark, make too much out of grace? It was grace that lifted us out. Oh, yes, it was. And look here. Grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. If it was grace that saved us, the Bible said Jesus is our Savior. How can you separate Jesus from grace? You can't do it. That's like saying, hey, don't talk too much about Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Savior of the souls of men. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, Jesus. And you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus.
Some of y'all look sick.
They some of y'all in here that think I'm undignified because I preach this way. And there's some of you that think that I'm not preaching if I don't preach this way. Got your number, Chief. I'm going to talk about Him.
Amen.
In a real good way.
Amen.
All the way coming home yesterday, I had that on my mind, what that man said. And I was thinking about that song. I'm telling you, I got to giggling coming up the highway. Jordan was with us, and she said, Deucey, what's Poppy laughing about? I was singing that old song. In love and mercy, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, with love He lifted me. With tender hands He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name.
Amen. Amen.
I meant to get back to security, hadn't I? Oh, my. Jesus said in John 17:12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, not none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. What kind of eyes was it? What kind of a look was it that captivated the Lord? I said eyes of faith. I want to say number two, the faith that our eyes possessed. Number two, the felicity that they expressed. Somebody said, what do you mean? I'm talking about, hey, the happiness, Asher. He looked in her eyes and seen no Asher. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. That means happy. That word felicity means happy or blissful. Now here's where God got me. She was happy all of a sudden. And He saw that happiness in her eyes. Why, Brother Hall, the trial. The trial, Miss Sharon, it ended. No wonder she was so happy and joyful. The trial that she had been through. Somebody said, preacher, them trials. Oh, yes, if you've ever been through one, and the church has, the church has. Can you get it today? I'm telling you, if we lose this today, we may lose a whole lot more than what we think, church.
Amen.
Here's what I think is over. If her trial was over, why would the Holy Ghost of God tell me in my heart that it's over for us? I'm going to tell you this, it's either over for you or me or all of us. You better think about what I just said. You or me or all of us. It's over. God said it's over. Somebody said, well, preacher, I mean, listen to what Peter said. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, though that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, not be found unto praise, bliss, joyfulness, happiness, not be found unto praise and honor and glory when at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes away from me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We joke about that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is a real love affair between Christ and His church.
Yes,
and that's nothing vulgar. That book presents our love affair with Him.
Yes,
and it's nothing vulgar about it, friend.
Amen.
May God help us to see that. Brother, when He looked in her eyes, He saw, hey, the happiness that she beheld because she saw Him. And you ever get happy, boy, when you've been out reading them lines and been gone all week and come in? Aw. Was you in the army when y'all was married? Cheryl, ever get happy, Brother Andy, when you've been out all week?
Oh, no.
Be careful what you say, little tongue. Lisa, get happy. You come in from Sicily, Doug?
Definitely.
Could you see it in her eyes?
Yes, sir.
She saw her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus looked in my eyes and saw her faith. He looked in my eyes and saw her happiness and joy because the trial had ended. It was behind her. It was over.
Amen.
And she saw. He saw that happiness because, hey, and I'm going to say something here in a minute. Not only was the trial over, but the turmoil was over. Man, she had been persecuted, wounded, ridiculed. It was over. It was over. No doubt that her search for Christ, she had experienced a calamity of life, real calamity. But Jesus said in Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge. until these calamities be overpassed. Son, hey, the turmoil of her life, the turmoil had come to an end. The trial had ended. And the tears of joy were flowing. Oh, what a verse of Scripture. And I can see some of you, all some of you are interested in is me shutting up so you can go home. Psalm 30 and verse 5, for His anger endureth but for a moment, in His favor is life, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Her night had ended, friend. The sun had risen on that little bride. And son, she was so happy to see Him, so joyful, so elated, that He said, turn thine eyes from me, away from me, for they have overwhelmed me, they've overcome me. And then I'll mention one more thing. I think He saw there a real loyalty. For alliteration's sake, fidelity.
Amen.
It'd have been easy for her to say, well, you ain't answered a prayer of mine in weeks, buddy. And my life ain't been the bed of roses that I thought it ought to be. Me and the marriage is sour. God ain't provided for me like I thought He ought to. I try to pray in heaven's brass. Pray more! That's when you need to pray. I try to read and it don't seem like I'm getting through. Keep on reading. Been there, done that. You want me wearing my T-shirt tonight? Where it says on the front, prayed and he didn't hear. Read and couldn't get through. She had been wounded. She had been witnessing. She had been willing to suffer persecution. She was so loyal. When she finally found Him, Jesus looked into them eyes and saw the faith that they possessed. She kept on looking. He saw the fidelity, the joy, and the happiness that was in her heart just from finding Jesus in her life. And He saw the loyalty, the fidelity, that loyalty that compelled her to keep on looking for no other beloveds. Nothing else in this world satisfied her. She wanted nothing else or nobody but Him. Now listen to me. Listen to me. And I know it's late and some of you are restless. But Miss Sharon, when we seek for Him with all of our heart, you think He's going to get part of you? You think that He's going to reveal Himself if you still got somebody else holds part of your heart? No other beloved. My beloved is mine. And I am my beloved. Seek Him with all your heart that He may be found.
Amen.
You say that this morning? Hey. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's stand. Look in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim by the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Him this morning, church. I wonder if somebody get on this altar this morning. Say, preacher, I'm going to turn my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to find Him. I'm going to find Him. It's the last thing I do. I'm going to find Him. I'm going to find Him. I wonder if there's anybody. I wonder if there's anybody in the church that would fully commit themselves. I wonder if there's any of you men that will fully commit yourself to finding God in your life and for your life. I'm not talking about playing around. I'm talking about being loyal and dedicated, determined in your heart. I wonder if there's any of you ladies that would say, preacher Hall, I'm going to sell out to Him. No other beloved. For I've always set the Lord before me. That's what the psalmist said. Father, I've poured out my soul the best I can. I've tried to be a blessing to this church and these people. I've said all that I can say. The work that must be done now must be Thine and Thine alone. I know what Thou hast promised me, and I fully intend to stand on that promise. I pray they'll receive it and rejoice in it and triumph because of it for Thy glory. And we'll thank You because You're worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. In the lovely name of Jesus, amen and amen. What is it, Brother George, the number? 273. Let's sing it. Listen to that now. That's where she was at. I appreciate the day. I hope we didn't keep you long too long and make some of you madder than what you are.